We hear again a few of the verses from the reading of Mark 10. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" In the name of Jesus. The word they used was glory. Anyone could use a little glory in life. Glory, triumph, success, honor, strength. Who would turn away? How many books written? How many self-help programs sold? How many people signed up for motivational seminars for just that? Glory, success, triumph, all the rest. We want to rise above, to excel. We want strength to replace weakness and failure. So James and John wanted glory. They came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." The Lord's glory. What did James and John think that would be? They may have been thinking, perhaps, about Mount Sinai. When Moses came down from Sinai to address the people, they saw, Exodus 19 tells us, thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. They heard a loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. So maybe James and John thought of that for glory, or maybe they remembered also Mount Carmel, where the prophet Elijah smashed the false Baal prophets by calling fire out of heaven. What were James and John thinking when they said they wanted to sit with Jesus in his glory? Whatever they were thinking, they got it wrong. Mark 10:38, Jesus said to James and John, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" So we have the glory of the Lord. It's not fire from the sky, not earthquake, not death to enemies. It's no earthly success and triumph and strength and honor. It's not a self-help program or motivational seminar. It's nothing anyone really could put on Instagram or Facebook as an inspiring photo. The glory of the Lord, Jesus makes clear, is a man bleeding on the cross as he breathes his last. A man publicly accused and humiliated by teachers of the law. A man who has taken willingly upon himself the sin of the world, and who in speaking of himself says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. This is glory, at least as the Lord speaks of it. It's true glory. Glory is not God's almighty dominion crushing sinners, not God's holiness consuming anything unholy. It's not God's infinite power unleashed here on earth. Glory here on earth, well, it would be God's holiness and power, but concealed, cloaked, so that as God comes to the sinner, he comes to give gifts, and the sinner then is not destroyed by his holiness. So God's power is seen at Mount Sinai's fire and lightning, and yet God does not come down the mountain to destroy the sinners below. Rather, God puts his word on the tongue of Moses. And in the weakness and humanity of that man, Moses, God approaches the sinner in weakness to forgive sins and give gifts. And then God comes finally in the flesh, himself, child of Mary. He grows up just as any other human, in the normal way. Why didn't God just come down spiritually, in holiness, in power, and approach the sinner like that? If he had done that, if the Son of God came that way, he wouldn't have come not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He came in weakness so as not to destroy the sinner by his holiness and power uncloaked, but cloaked in human flesh as true man, he came to give gifts to the sinner. The gift? His body and blood on the cross. We want to see God in his glory here on earth? Then we look at the cross. Not fire and lightning flashing, not something that I expect God to do in my life to prove that he's giving me a message, but body and blood dying. Not power and success dominating, making my life better, but the Son of Man speaking grace to give gifts. So now it's God's glory to us. Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory, James and John said. They will be with Jesus in his glory. They see him when he's there dying for all sinners, including themselves on the cross. They see him in his glory revealed here on earth. His cross is his glory. We belong to that cross. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Mark, that is your catechism verse, your confirmation verse. His glory is not to destroy the sinner, nor to force the sinner to serve him, but his glory is on earth to cleanse the conscience, serving the sinner with his gifts. His glory is the sinner baptized. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Noah, that's your confirmation verse. His glory is him approaching us now in the uncloaked power which would only annihilate us in our sinful flesh. He cloaks it. He approaches us now, coming to us in his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And now we are the glory of God to one another and to our neighbor. Not because we exhibit the glory of God as we live a victorious Christian life, whatever that nonsense might mean. And not because we show forth the glory of God by parading ourselves around as those who have overcome some obstacle and can prove ourselves through our obedience. That may make us look strong, but it's not Jesus on the cross. And then we remember our Lord comes in weakness. We are God's glory to one another as we proclaim the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, as we remind each other of his coming in weakness to be our Savior. We are God's glory to our neighbor, not as we try to prove how good of Christians we can make ourselves appear to be, but as we speak to our neighbor in the kindness and grace and mercy of the Son of Man who comes not to be served, but to serve. In short, we are God's glory to one another and to our neighbor as we forgive sins. For we belong to Christ, who forgives sins, who came to serve on the cross, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In the name of Jesus, amen.